Good morning, everybody. It's time for the Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. It's Elder Care Radio, only on News Radio 890 925 KDXU. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
It is Wellness Wednesday, and today is Elder Care Radio, and we're excited to be here and to help you, have a whole life improvement. We really want to help those seniors, you know, address all the different issues that are issues that they may have. How's that?
Good morning, Southern Utah. We're so glad you could join us today. It is another beautiful Wednesday morning, and I hope we're all recognizing how grateful or being so grateful to be here on this gorgeous, warm, sunny day. Warm but not hot. It's beautiful.
Unless you're in Cedar City, it's not going to be quite as warm there, but you need
cool.
that.
A little yeah. brisk.
It's still a lovely day. It's a great time to be in Southern Utah.
We're lucky to be here.
Yep.
So thank you for joining us. If throughout this show you have any questions or you'd like to find out more about us, you can give our office a call at 435-477-6999. Again, it's 435-477-6999. We will repeat that telephone number again at the end of the show, or you can look us up on our website at pathwayhospicecare.com, and we'd love to hear from you. We love hearing from our friends in the community each week.
And each week we try and come up with content that we think is relevant for our senior community. That is, you know, the foundation of Elder Care Radio, because things are different as we age. But this today is not just for seniors, it's for everybody, because it's an uncomfortable topic, and sometimes we don't want to talk about it. So we've taken it upon ourselves to start this conversation, and you don't have to say anything.
Absolutely. And as always, we usually take our topics from comments or phone calls that we receive throughout the week. And I guess recently we've had a lot of comments or questions about where to find resources regarding grieving. And we're so grateful now that we can all join together again in person for grieving groups, I guess. There's many, many resources throughout Southern Utah. And again, one more reason why we're fortunate to be in such a supportive, wonderful state.
Yeah. So our topic today is grief and grieving. And I thought these were very appropriate words. Grief for those of us who understand, no explanation is needed. For those who do not, no description is possible. And I think if we've felt that that sense of grief, we can understand those explanations, because it is a unique circumstance in life when we have to deal with loss. And that loss can be from a variety of sources, certainly the loss of a loved one, but it could be the loss of a friend, loss of a job, anything that we have been emotionally tied to, especially when we are very emotionally tied and we lose that, we should experience that sense of loss, that grief. And so we want to kind of open that discussion today. We know that there are people who have experienced loss recently, and there are people who have experienced loss a while ago who may not have been able to work all the way through that grieving process. And grieving is a learning experience, I guess. And we've got some resources that we're going to be referencing to try and, you know, make this make sense. But it was interesting when I was reading through this that they say it really is a learning process for the body. It is a process of learning to live without what we have made part of ourselves. You know, if you're grieving for the loss of a spouse, your whole life you've lived as part of a unit, and now part of that unit is gone, and that's the loss that we feel. And so it's that process of learning that comes with that. So we're going to try and explore some of that, and hopefully give some people some tools, whether you are dealing with loss and I think this is true for everybody who's listening. If you know somebody who has experienced loss and is struggling with that, I think we probably all know somebody. We may not know that they're grieving still, but we probably know somebody who's in that position. And if you have a little bit of knowledge, maybe you can help them in that. And it's important to realize that for this radio broadcast, we know that the people that we're talking to directly may not need the things that we are talking about, but you guys do know people who do need some Absolutely. Of this information. And so we ask you to reach out and talk to people about it and help the community heal and improve.
Perhaps as we're going through this today, if you can just take a moment to pause and clear your mind and think about those around you who may have lost a loved one. And grief comes in a lot of different forms. It can be divorce. It can be loss of jobs or loss of a home or loss of a loved one. There is no time that completely heals pain, and we all heal at different lengths of time. So it's important to remember that one of your friends or family members or some associate of some distance may still be struggling, and there are resources available. I would say that as we went through these programs and studying, you know, ways and resources that are available, the one thing that impacted me the most was just the time issue, that we all deal with things in different amounts of time. Mm-hmm. And there's no words to say, oh, you know, they've been grieving long enough, or no words to stop the pain. Just being there, in some form being there, offering to be there for them as a shoulder to cry on, maybe just bringing a casserole to their house, maybe just a phone call and stopping by just to say, hey, I just wanted to say hello in person.
So I've got a quote here that I thought was very interesting when I read it, and that is, time does not heal, but in time, healing may come through story, through ritual, through pictures, and through comfort. That beginning part, time doesn't heal. It's not a matter of time. It's not, I can wait this out, or let me just postpone this long enough and I won't have to deal with it. Time is going to be necessary for us to go through these processes, but we still need to go through the processes. Our brains, our bodies, we've got an article here talking about how the brain actually copes with healing, and the actual physical changes that happen and the neurological things that are required. So to hope that we could avoid the pain is probably wrong.
I think sometimes we don't talk about that. We think of the pain of grief or loss as an emotion, but there's actually a physical attribute to it. Our brain physically responds.
Mm-hmm. So people can manage or find resolution for grief in a number of different ways, and we're all different. And that's one of the important points, is there is no one right way. But if we're just trying to avoid it, that would probably be one of the wrong ways. So we may want to do that through, you know, some collective grieving process, you know, funerals or going to the cemetery, or, you know, those types of activities, having people around us to grieve together can be, for some people, an important part of this. And if that is appropriate, then we want to give you some tools to help somebody who needs that. Other people want to grieve alone. They want to have that time to just process their own thoughts, to come to grips with the reality that they are now not, they don't have that initial or that immediate support system that they used to have. And that may be important. And for many people, they lead towards their faith. They start trying to strengthen that. And I think we all may have opinions as to which of those is most appropriate. Even for ourselves, if we are grieving, we may say, okay, well, this is the way I want to do it, or this is the way I want to avoid doing it. But we may want to give up that ego part of that, you know, I'm going to control this, and explore some of those things that make us uncomfortable. For those people who have a loss of faith, or, you know, have some concerns, maybe it might be worthwhile to explore something in that direction. If we do feel like all we want to do is be alone, maybe it would be a good idea to push ourselves into some situations where we can have additional support from others. And for those that always are looking for others around them to buffer them from the problems, they may want to look at trying to do some things, you know, on a solo basis, or spend some time really contemplating, you know, their circumstance. And there are some tools, some things that we can do that will help us, some activities, and we hope to cover some of that. So as we're going through this, I just want you to consider this. So let's talk first about helping somebody else in that situation. because that's what we are kind of believing, is that most people are going to be in a position of being available. And I will tell you, that's an uncomfortable position to be in, to be the person to help somebody else.
Well, grieve. I think what makes it so uncomfortable is we're at a loss for words. And I think that we've heard stories, or we've heard other people share that they didn't appreciate the way that somebody said something. I think as the griever, we need to remember how difficult it is to find the appropriate words, and that we all receive information so differently. Just remember that the intent is always to love and support, even if the words aren't what you were expecting to or wanting to hear at that time. But number one takeaway, to have people be there for you, to show up and support you by phone or in person, really goes a long way. Sometimes no words are necessary. It's just the physical presence and knowing that your friends are around you, supporting you, loving you, giving you a shoulder to cry on. Sometimes no words are necessary.
So C.S. Lewis, this was a quote from him about grief. He said, "No one ever told me that grief felt so much like fear. I'm not afraid, but the sensation is like being afraid. The same fluttering stomach, the same restlessness, the yawning. I keep swallowing." That was his explanation of it. And I can see that fear, fear of what are we going to do next? What is it that's ahead of for me? Because everything has changed. My whole life is now different. So if you're helping somebody else through this process and you're uncomfortable with, "I don't know what to say," okay, these are some things that we would recommend you don't say. Okay, how are you holding up? That's more of an interrogation than it is a helpful thing. To say, "I know how you're feeling." Everybody feels differently. Everybody grieves differently. And it doesn't help somebody to tell them that you know what they're thinking. Or to say that he or she is in a better place. It all is for the best. Those are not terribly helpful things.
That you're so strong. Support somebody by saying, "Oh, you're so strong," which is almost like you'll be fine, and kind of poo-pooing it away. When somebody really doesn't feel strong, they feel lost, and they feel confused about where do I go from here and how do I move on. I remember right after my mom passed away, I got a phone call from somebody that I hadn't talked to in a long time, and they didn't know that my mom had passed. And so the conversation started more in a really positive note and just very endearing, but I was grieving. I had just lost my mom. And I remember thinking to myself, I know that she's trying to be friendly, but how can the world keep moving on from day to day? Does the world not feel that the world's a different place? My mom's not here, and I don't know how I'm going to grab my next breath without her. Mm-hmm. And it's just that overwhelming devastation that we just need to allow people to breathe and to mourn the way that they choose to mourn. Just be there for them with support and love.
Right. So, and one other thing that probably isn't going to be helpful is those things trying to associate this with time. Like, look, you've been doing this long enough, it's time to move on. Those kind of statements, those are not helpful. So here are some things, and take notes if you like, or give us a call. We'll walk you through this later. Just being available for an open and honest conversation. Just being available. You don't have to start the conversation. Just be there. In fact, I was reading a story from somebody who has been a chaplain in hospice for decades, and they said, "From my experiences, it seems like every time I go to somebody's house and start a conversation, there's always the end of that conversation at the screen door, right? Where you've gone through all the formalities and now you're leaving and you're just kind of continuing this." And that sometimes is where the most honest conversation comes, when we've gone through all of the procedural stuff, when we've, made our formal statements and we are still just available. We are just there. So being available for that conversation at any time is great. If you are concerned that they have some grieving over what could have been said, you may be able to frame a question in, hey, maybe there is a conversation that you wish you had. And if you want to, you know, just use me and tell me what that conversation was, the things that you wish you had said, I'd be more than happy to listen. And there are plenty of unanswered questions. So when we're providing comfort, ask what unanswered questions they might have. And if they truly are looking for an answer, they may find that you are a person that can give them some answer. This isn't necessarily a time to change people's way of thinking, but just be available to have that conversation and open their own mind to possibilities.
And not only what question they may have, but perhaps just offering, asking, I think, you know, emphasis on asking, do you want to talk about anything? Do you want to share memories? Is there anything that you'd like me to be here for, to discover, to just discuss and be there for someone? Sometimes you don't have to offer your memories or offer the advice or offer your solutions to their grief, but just listen. Listening is very powerful. I know that, you know, one of the greatest lessons I learned was to sit quietly and then instinctually respond. I remember one time I woke up in the middle of the night, and it was about 2:30 in the morning, and I had a friend who had recently lost her mother, and I didn't want to wake her, so I just sent a text, and I just said, I woke up this morning, 2:30 a.m., and my heart was full, and I was thinking about you and just wanted you to know that I'm here for you. And she called me right away and said, I am so glad you're awake. I was here in the dark alone and just needed somebody to talk to. And so we talked for a good hour or two before she finally felt like she could rest her mind and go back to sleep. So listening's an important tool.
Right. And having some understanding of what you might be listening to. One of the things that many people who grieve, if we use the word rumination, where they just kind of keep poring over the same things, it's usually the would have, should have, could have, right? Those types of questions. Well, I should have done this, or I could have done that. And then we just mire ourselves down in all these possibilities that don't exist. If you can help them come to an understanding that I'll use the word counterfactual, okay? Those are not factual events. Those are hypothetical things that don't exist. And so to spend all of our time on non-factual things instead of the life that we really have. So help them work through that. Help them, you know, understand that, yes, maybe there could have been a difference, but there's nothing we can do. And this is a harsh way to say it. I'm not handling this well. But all of the examples that you're giving me about what you wish could have been done, we could explore why they weren't done, and then maybe we can get past that. But the truth is that no matter what the past was, even if it was a tragic accident that shouldn't have happened, we still have to deal with now and moving forward.
And another way of looking at it on another website we were reading about said, let them express their frustration of the why or the should have, would have, could have, and then suggest, shall we do it now? Remembering that the brain has a physical response, releasing the regret can be a powerful emotional healing tool for your brain. So be with them and allow them to express and say everything that they're feeling right then. It may or may not help, depending on their religious views, to remind them that their loved ones, you believe that their loved one can hear them. But that doesn't always need to be said. Sometimes it is just the physical release that needs to happen.
Right. So some of the things that you can say that you know, may be helpful would be to say that you are in my thoughts and prayers. I mean, that's, I want to support you. Or to say, yeah, I miss him too, or her. You know, I do. And find that common ground to let people know that they're not alone in their feelings. And then the other one would be when you're ready. I would love to learn a little bit more about the things that made you love them that much.
And
give them that opportunity to talk.
Absolutely. Remember, if you knew someone personally, instead of making very general statements like what a great human being he was and a kind person, actual stories that you share make it far more personal and remind the loved one that's still living how important he was or she was in the world. And I think that that's an important part of grieving, is you want to talk about them, not in general, but you want the world to remember that the world is a different place without this person here. And I'm a different person. I'm half the person that I was. And once you express that and physically go through that change in identity and change in the world around you, you can heal after that.
Yep. Another statement that I got out of this that I thought was very powerful is, I know I can say nothing right now that will change the way you feel, nor what has happened, but I am willing to walk through this with you. I'm willing to be there right by your
side.
That's
powerful.
It really is. If they know, just like, you know, my wife, when that person realized that she was willing to be part of it, then she was a great support. Instead of just assuming that, you know, people know that you'll be there, we probably should try and address that. So that's if you're trying to help somebody else. But if you are going through grief right now, and I use the word grief, I'm going to say going through grieving, because grief is the emotion that you feel, and it's usually, you know, just completely devastate you, that feeling of grief, the loss. Grieving is the process that we have to take care of and manage that. So if you are grieving, some things that can be helpful, and they may, and these aren't, you know, so obvious, but physical movement. Though physical movement is an important part of our biological process, but it helps our brain and it does some other things. So get out and take a walk, even if you don't feel like it. Just do some type of movement like that. And if you can do more, do more. Give your body an opportunity to not be overwhelmed by the grieving process for a period of time. Make sure you get rest. Now, you may not be able to sleep. Things can be so devastating. So actually focus on finding ways to give your body rest, whether that's timed periodic rest throughout the day at different times, so that you have the resources to manage and go through this. Social support. Don't be afraid of asking for help from anybody, and including us. Give us a call. If you're dealing with some type of grief, give us a call and we will do what we can to help you, or help you find people that are more prepared or more capable of helping you than we are.
And remember, this is a wonderful community full of resources. If you do have a struggle of any kind, please give our office a call. Please know that there are resources within the Catholic Church, Lutheran Church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. There are grieving groups that we can physically meet. We can meet online and in Zoom calls. The number of resources for whatever you're looking for, whatever amount of resources you are looking for, they are available to you in this community. If you need help finding them, please give our office a call. Our telephone number is 435-477-6999.
And there is a slightly unconventional but very effective option, and that is a death cafe. If you've never heard of that, or that sounds morbid, completely understandable. But there is one this Friday.
This Friday.
And if that is something, a death cafe is an opportunity for people to get together and talk about anything that has to do with that process, whether that's before or after or anything else. It's just an open forum that you can gather with some people that may be of like mind.
Quickly, just so that I can explain what the death cafe is, you don't have to be grieving. It could be somebody that just wants to explore what death is, or discover, you know, how other people see death. Maybe they're, you know, looking religiously or spiritually.
Or considering pre-need.
Sure.
You know, it could be anything.
Sure.
Right. But it is an opportunity, just a fairly social event. It's not, you know, foreboding or anything. It's actually a good experience. So
call our office, and we'll help you find these resources.
Yep.
435-477-6999.
435-477-6999.